Your purpose is far greater than your pain. I don't agree with everything that our boy Goggins does or says. You know, I think sometimes that we can overdo things. You know, if you're running on your knees with no meniscus and you have to get surgery and it takes you 2 months to recover, that's not for me. That's not aligned with where I want to be. But I'll tell you what David Goggins has taught me, that when I think I don't have any why left, I'm only 40% using my why. I got 60% more to apply. And so when you're 40%, you think there's nothing left in your tank, that's when you have 60% more why in you and apply it. And your purpose will be far greater than the divine detours, the pain that is in front of you, and knowing all the time with your faith and wisdom that my purpose is far greater than my pain. And therefore, I will enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential, regardless of the divine detours, because I have a divine direction in divine time to get to where I want to be or better.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
My takeaway is about wisdom. And it's wisdom is knowing nothing, and love is knowing everything. And the idea of the ferocious Buddha, reconciliation between the pragmatic world and the infinite world of faith, and understanding that wisdom and faith shorten the distance of resistance that we place between us and the omniscient and all-powerful, our potential, our truth. So true wisdom is knowing nothing, and love is knowing everything. Love is the truth. It's a higher vibration and frequency. And a lot of times I think people get caught up in that separation and pursuing wisdom to shorten the distance without any love or faith. So that's my takeaway. Wisdom is knowing nothing. Love is knowing everything.
That is extremely, extremely beautiful. And my takeaway of the month, David, is actually something that I learned from you as it pertains to leadership. And we were discussing one of the best leaders of all time, the greatest college basketball coach, and that's, of course, Coach Wooden. And you had talked about how it's the attention to detail and how, you know, a leader like that is not afraid to be annoying, and how for him and his players, he started each and every practice by the fundamentals, not as it pertains to the game of basketball, but as it pertains to tying their shoes, and not only doing it in a uniform way, of course, not utilizing or not having the incredible technology that shoes provide today in terms of stability. So yes, it is very important from a physical aspect, but it's more the attention to detail and that collective consciousness of the attention to the finer things that really stood out to me, especially from a leadership perspective. So thank you so much for sharing that.
So Nick, you sure the takeaway of the week isn't don't look down at your phone while you're driving?
That's a good one. And I definitely relearned that lesson yesterday. But with that said, not my brightest moment, but we are still WAMing like nobody's business. And continuing on the WAM machine, I would love to get our community involved here to share their takeaways. I see that our good friend, Mr. Brent, has joined the stage. So Brent, happy Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. I'll go ahead and pass it over to you to share your incredible takeaway of the month.
Happy Friday. Happy, you know, end of August. Lots of love. Thank you, David. You give us all hope, especially me. Wisdom is knowing nothing. That's amazing. I guess I'm wise. So
right on.
That's my takeaway of the month right there. The takeaway of this month is, the expectation thing and the patience thing, just being patient and knowing that, you know, time, things just happen when they happen, and not to force it, because we all get frustrated, and especially me right now. And that's just the way I'm feeling. I'm feeling like, yeah, let's just do some patience thing this month. And, lots of love, Dave, and lots of love to you, Nick, and can't wait to see you guys again.
Yeah. We'll see you soon on our way as well in October to New York. And I'll be there for a day before Eagles, wedding on the 7th of September. But it's interesting because there's a difference, Brent, between forcing it and utilizing force. And a lot of people think that utilizing force is forcing it. No, forcing it is attaching your emotions to an outcome and utilizing force to utilizing force to get something, where forcing it will create resistance while using force to clear the interference between that which you desire or better in you is a force of free will in order to identify what you're doing to interfere with that path and taking the divine detours in the divine direction in divine time. So I want everyone to think about the difference between forcing it and using force in order to reconcile with it or something better than it, which is aligned, as you said, with the wisdom of knowing that we don't know, or wisdom is knowing nothing, and faith or love is knowing everything. And if we know everything, we'll know that we don't have enough wisdom to acquire all of it. So what we want to do is clear the interference between us and it or better, and have that faith that it or better is reconciled or coinciding with us at all times by utilizing what? Force. So stop forcing it, but utilize force in order to clear what is between you and it or better. That's a mathematical equation, by the way. Brent, you have talked and I think illustrated the idea of the greatest conflict of most entrepreneurs who are impatient about getting it. And I want you to get impatient about using force to reconcile with it or better. Does that sound fair?
That sounds more than fair. And thank you very much. That's, can you explain that love is knowing everything? Just
yeah.
One more time, please. Thank
sure.
you.
Sure. So we get lost in the definitions and data. And so, because when I utilize the word love, I'm using an infinite word that has multiple definitions and labels. And so I am so grateful that you asked that question, because I think part of the problem that exists is that people are looking just to assume instead of understand. And so I imagine that over half of the people didn't really understand how love is knowing everything, because their definition or label of love is different than the way that I'm utilizing it in this way. So love is the infinite. It's the truth. It's the vibration, the frequency that holds the highest to the truth. And so if love encompasses omniscience, which is all knowing, then that infinite love, that truth, that higher vibration or frequency, which is relative to awareness, is actually knowing everything. And so love in this respect is the omniscient. Love is the all-powerful truth. And if you are omniscient, all-powerful, and truthful, you will know everything. And everything is known by clearing what you're doing to interfere with everything. And that's how we learn to know or learn to love. And love is knowing everything. While wisdom incorporates understanding of information that has only an instant of relevance, because the minute we have or attain some decision or some wisdom, time, emotion, and value changes immediately. Therefore, it means nothing. But I'm pursuing my own ability and capability of articulating that. So you give meaning to everything you see. And so hopefully there is some meaning to wisdom is knowing nothing. Love is knowing everything, and the duality of that omniscient and all powerful message.
Wow. Thank you, David.
You got it, my friend. All right. We're rocking and rolling. We're actually one quarter done. Speaking of which, college football is rocking and rolling. And I just have added value to my life when I can carry around so many different college football games, and I'm blessed to be a part of the front offices and the coaching staffs of so many great programs. It's hard for me to root for one of them, but I'm hoping one of the teams in which I work with and will win the national championship this year. So good luck to all of those teams as well. I'm not going to separate myself and list them out, but I'm praying for several teams this year, Mikey. All righty, buddy. Here we go. Nick, who's up next?
Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to Colleen, and then we have Tracy ready to rock right after Colleen. So, Colleen, great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and share away.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody. I love the takeaways. Okay, my takeaway of the week is really more a friendly reminder. This week, we were kind of coming up with some like show titles, and the word impact kept coming up. We ended up talking through really the impact effect and understanding that the smallest good deeds, holding the door, waving at someone, smiling at someone, could make such a small ripple in just bettering everybody around you. The world is such a good reminder just to continue to do those good deeds, even if you feel like they're not recognized, they're not noticed, and maybe they're not having any effect in your life. Just knowing that reminder that that ripple effect is happening, I think was so powerful.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that Tom Bilyeu doesn't get pissed off if we're going to name a show with the word impact. And yet there's a big difference between impact theory and impact effect. I really liked it. I just don't want to ever in the vast world of branding feel as if I've somehow stepped on or diminished the incredible brand that Tom Bilyeu, one of my dear friends, have built with impact theory. The idea or the theory of impact effect is the story of the pond, and it's relevant in the reconciliation. As you talk about this ripple effect, it's really the effect of physics, energy or impact of some positive force or energy aligned or behaviors that create some sort of progress or momentum is always resisted by time, because most people cannot think within the context of physics. Physics says that if we are consistent and persistent, that the energy that we put out will have three characteristics. It will aggregate, it will attract more of the like kinds. It will accelerate, it will happen faster, and it will create exponentiality of growth. And the best way to represent what Colleen is talking about in the impact effect is the effect of physics, of the commitment to consistent behavior, the progress aligned with a divine direction, in an awareness of divine detours, but in divine time. And to that measure, I'll put it into the context of how I teach people to build their brand or their community. I have a program for people with podcasts. And I guarantee that in 20 years, that podcast, according to its subcategory, topic, expertise, or subject matter, will be the most popular of his genre in 20 years. Now, first of all, I curate the people that are interested, because most people don't have the divine perspective of divine direction, can't handle divine detours, and don't have the divine time in mind. And that's why the first piece of advice that I give, as I have this 20-year podcast community growing, and it's a brand growing, so it deals in speaking, podcasting, books. I can do it with any area or genre that they want to work with and guarantee it. But furthermore, here's how the numbers work at its baseline without consideration of acceleration, just utilizing the aggregation and exponential value or exponential growth that occurs. And it is the exact example or illustration of impact effect or the ripple effect that you're talking about. So if Colleen is starting a podcast called Impact Effect, and she comes to me and says, Dave, I want you to build this podcast. What do I need to do? I would tell her, look, I will charge you $10,000 a year, and I will guarantee you in year one that you will have two subscribers that will bring two subscribers to your podcast. What I need you to do is to, before we start, create 10 episodes of your podcast without publishing them, which automatically will put you in the top 1% because most people quit their podcasts within 10 episodes. So I'm already putting you in the top 1% just by putting 10 episodes into the can without publishing any of them. And I know that you'll get better at it and you'll learn, and the 10th or 11th episode will be 10 or 11 times as good as the first one that you did. But neither here or there, most people tell me to F off. Are you kidding me? $10,000 and all you're going to guarantee is two subscribers. That will get me two subscribers a year. I said, yep, that's it. And then of the small percentage that takes on my program, in year two, I will guarantee that you will have four subscribers. That will get you four subscribers a year and charge you $10,000 more. And most people tell me to F off, including some of the people that bought into the two subscribers for 1 year that will get me two a year. And in the third year, it'll be another 10,000 and eight subscribers will get me eight subscribers a year. And in year four, 16, and it's 10,000 a year. And in year five, it's 32 subscribers getting me 32. And 99% of the people that actually bought into the program, they quit and ask for a refund in year five because they have 32 subscribers. But the funny thing is that if I told you, give me $200,000 payable $10,000 a year for 20 years as the aggregation minus the acceleration, which would occur, so it would happen faster than 20 years, and the exponentiality of the impact effect. In year 20, according to your podcast, the genre, the subject matter, topic, and expertise that you had, at merely growing two people a year, that will get you two people a year for 20 years, because of physics, you would have 2 million subscribers, getting you 2 million new subscribers a year in 20 years. Minus acceleration, so it probably will happen faster. Now, if I told you, hey, give me 200 grand and I'll get you 2 million subscribers, that'll get you 2 million subscribers in year one, everybody would sign up, because I also could tell you how to monetize 2 million subscribers, getting you 2 million subscribers a year. In fact, casinos right now are paying $112 per subscriber, so you could imagine the value of that. But most people don't understand because they're living in man-made constructive time and they're impatient, like Brett and I. And so 99% or so won't even listen to that program. And 99% of the people will quit after 5 years. And of the 1% that remain, 99% of them will quit before they get even close to 20 years. And that's why those people that can enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit and utilize the impact effect in whatever subject matter, topic, expertise, platform, community they're trying to build, product, service, solution, brand, book, podcast, speaking, career. Those people that stay committed to consistent behaviors that are aligned with where they want to be or better, better noted as the divine direction, and they utilize faith when the divine detours look like punishment, but they're actually promotion, and understand the divine time of the aggregation, acceleration, and exponentiality, end up in a better place, a better position than anyone else. impact effect is the ripple effect. It is the constitution of physics of aggregation, acceleration, and compound exponentially. The problem is that most people don't have the wisdom to be committed, to be consistent, and to. And so if anybody would like to work with me so that I can show you how the impact effect will build your community for your product, service, solution, your raise, your personal brand, podcast, book, speaking, it's all math. It's physics. And it's you wanting it more than I wanting it, or you wanting what you want more than I want what you want or other people want. Stop looking for what you don't have, what you don't want, or what's missing. Utilize your behavior in a committed, consistent manner in order to facilitate the progress in the physics to aggregate what you want, accelerate what you want, utilizing divine direction. Divine detours are promotion and divine time in order to get to where you want or better. Awesome question, Colleen. It is the impact effect that creates the physics, metaphysics, and quantum physics of the multiverse universe. All right. Nick of Womness, that's a well-oiled machine who's still learning and progressing himself. He's an incredible young man who's now 24 years old, and he is incredible. Incredible. Why don't you go ahead out? Why don't I take one online? Oh, no, we have someone, and then I'll take one online. Go ahead.
Beautiful. Absolutely. We have Tracy here who is patiently waiting. So, Tracy, it's great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and share your takeaway.
Thank you, Nick. Good morning, Nick. Good morning, David, and Breakfast with Champion.
Good morning.
Of the month is about your thinking. I believe if you change your thinking, you can change your life. A lot of times we let our thinking limit us, but if we can change our thinking, we can change our outcomes for the better. Because if you feel you can't do something, ask yourself. Instead of saying you can't, ask yourself, how can I? Just by changing your thinking, I believe there's always a solution. So my takeaway is to change your thinking, change your life.
Oh, my goodness. You're talking the truth. You give meaning to everything you see. And if we utilize gratitude and forgiveness and accountability as tools and skills in order to effectuate a meaning to what we see by not only thinking, but by doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing aligned with where we want to do or better. From Think and Grow Rich on, we know what we can conceive, we can achieve. And there's no doubt that we have a great control that is facilitated by gratitude, by our ability to give meaning, by our ability to take any situation that other people may deem as a failure, a mistake, a setback, a punishment, and utilize gratitude to find light, love, and lessons in it to make it a promotion, a protection, to make it love, and to expedite that love by utilizing forgiveness in order to facilitate an ease, a flow, to be accountable. Finding those lessons are facilitated by looking and taking accountability of I am responsible. I am attracting this. I am participating in this meaning, in this perception. What am I supposed to learn from it? So instead of searching for something I already have, searching for the meaning, we apply our why to get to where we want to be or better. What a great lesson to learn. What a great takeaway. We are exactly at halftime. Nick, why don't you reset the room? I want to make one reminder before you reset the room as we are at halftime. There's going to be a lot of takeaways and a lot of lessons, hopefully a lot of nuggets. Only capture the ones that resonate with you. And when I talk about capturing what resonates with you, it's not just what is agreeable to you. One of the things I've learned, especially with the politics and religious perspectives of people in the United States in particular, is that if something bugs me, that's a form of resonation. That's a form of vibration, a frequency. So I capture the stuff that not only you know, vibes with me. Like, wisdom is knowing nothing and love is knowing everything. If that pisses you off and you disagree with that immensely, if you hate that, then capture it and then try to understand it. And utilize the frequency and vibration in both realms, in both spectrum, that we need to pay attention to and give intention to that which resonates with us. And resonance is not just in a positive flow inspiration, but it is also in the interference. And if we seek and understand and appreciate, make sure that you capture what resonates, not just the good, but what disturbs you the most as well. I've learned that to understand not only what means the most to us, but also, as previously mentioned, the things that we need to give a different meaning to, so it doesn't create that interference that created the resonation of interference or negativity. Anyway, reset the room, Nick of Guam.
Absolutely. And just a quick reset here, as we just crossed over the halftime mark of this Free Friday training and Power Hour. Of course, not only are we live here in the Breakfast with Champions on Clubhouse, but we are live everywhere online. So make sure that not only if you are continuing to invite your friends, whether it's to the Clubhouse room here or to the online, as we are continuing to stream everywhere to continue to maximize getting our community involved and, of course, sharing these incredibly abundant takeaways. We'll do a quick reminder of the schedule at the end of this incredible Power Hour. And of course, as you have your takeaways for David today to share, if you are online, make sure to put them in the chat. Of course, if you are live here on Clubhouse, make sure to use that hand icon in the lower right-hand corner of your screen to request to join the stage, so of course, we can bring you up. Now, with that said, David, we do have many friends live here on Clubhouse ready to rock and roll, but let's show some love to everybody online. Do you want to go ahead and take a takeaway from online, then we'll come back here to Clubhouse?
Yeah, we got so many. I want to make sure we're on every platform, and we have over 100,000 people registered online for our Friday trainings, which in this October will be 25 years, the golden anniversary of Free Friday trainings. I'm still looking for a lunchtime sponsor. I used to provide lunch. People would fly in every single Friday. Sometimes Friday training, though, has been on Thursday, by the way, but we've done it once a week. It'll be 25 years, which is relative to the takeaway. So Graham's takeaway online is, my takeaway for the month is that happiness comes through the persistent pursuit of my potential with patience and perseverance each day. And that's one of, you know, my definitions of happiness is to enjoy the consistent everyday, persistent without quit, pursuit of my potential. And this is another way to articulate that, in part and parcel to understanding the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, of knowing what you want, who you can help, who can help you, how best to get it done, and to know your now and your next, to apply your why, is an understanding that you can't do that with all 24 hours of your day. And so we need to divide our 24 hours into, number one, non-negotiables, that activity in which we're committed to every single day, and negotiables, which is variant behavior according to the circumstances of the day and the defined moments of the past, in a trajectory of where we want to be or better, that divine direction and divine time, with a notating awareness of the divine detours that occur. For me, I can withstand 7 hours of non-negotiable sleep, which is maximizing a third of my life. And I can withstand about 3, maybe 3.5 hours of non-negotiable activities each day, 7 days a week. And then I enjoy the other 14 hours or so of negotiable behavior, variant behavior, that's according to the circumstances of today that allow me to enjoy it. Because one of the things that's most counterintuitive, but also counter human nature, is consistency. That's why I love the quote, the simple things to do are simple not to do. No, the simple things to do are simple to do one time, but they become simple not to do if you have to do them every day. Take saying thank you, for example. takes 0.1 seconds. It's free. Almost everyone on earth would guarantee that it gives you an exponentiality of impact effect. But by tonight, although we all agree the impact effect of saying thank you, by tonight, most of us won't say thank you. By tomorrow morning, whoever is left, most of them won't say thank you. And within 3 days, almost everybody won't say thank you. So yes, the simple things to do are simple to do one time, but they're simple not to do in a consistent manner. So separate your activities by non-negotiables that are completely irrelevant to the circumstances of today, and then negotiable variant behavior for the rest of your awake time and the majority of your awake time. Have that variance. And then separate those by planning and creating planned and unplanned activities, paid for and unpaid for activities. And if you do that, you will enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of your potential. Your potential is creating by utilizing daily practices to know what you want, not what other people want, not what's missing, not what you don't have, who you can help and who can help you, fastest way to get to where you want to be, and how best to utilize the 24 hours of man-made constructive time in the divine, in the infinite divine direction with divine detours and divine time. To know one pertinent question, which is, what am I supposed to do now? And what am I going to do next? See, those people that know what they're going to do now and know what they're going to do next get shit done, because 100% of the people that know what they're going to do now get shit done and know what they're going to do next. It's the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastinating. It is the antidote to clear the interference between you and the divine direction, divine detours, and divine time. It allows you to apply your why, not search for it. It allows you to clear the interference or resistance with wisdom and faith. Knowing the what, the who, the how, the now, and applying the why will get you to where you want to be or better. If you want those five daily practices in order to be happy, to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, if you'd like to live in abundance and utilize the five daily practices, then just email me. I'll send them to you, david@dmelter.com. I'll send you those and practice knowing the what, the who, the how, the now, and applying the why. I'll give you the exercises and guides. I'll throw in my book. I'll send it to you, pay for shipping in the book, so you can live in that pursuit in your truth and with compassion. All right, Nick of Womness, who is up next?
Absolutely. I'm going to pass it over to the BAM man himself, Mr. Brian Franklin. Brian, it's great to see you. Happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and share your takeaway of the month.
Grand Rising, David and Nick, the Wild Man. 44 years old. Oh, my God. If I had the opportunity to be around David at 24, amazing what I would be at 62. So, David, I applaud you for your ability to just garner and find geniuses to be in your circle. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And so, yes, sir. So my takeaway for the month is actually very significant. David has made reference to apply your why a few times this morning. I was at an event with David in Pomona several weeks ago. It was this month. I think it was. Time goes so fast. And I heard David say, apply your why. I'm like, oh, my God, that's powerful. And so being a technologist, I said, you know what? Let me see if applyyourwhy.com is available. And it was. And so my takeaway, again, is to apply my why. And with my takeaway, there's a giveaway tied to it. And tomorrow, we're going to transfer applyyourwhy.com to Nick and David so that they can take that domain and just make it resonate through the universe. So I'm Brian Franklin, and I approve that message, and I am applying my why. Oh,
thank you, Brian, for applying your why, and thank you for the gift. Well received, and it will be given through us to others to apply their why. And we are blessed to have so many great people in our community who are empowering others to empower others to apply their why and to clear the interference with wisdom and faith between them and what they want, or even better. So we appreciate that. And there is a distinction of knowing your why or searching for your why and applying it. And the distinction is faith. That's all it is that, you know, I used an analogy that Nick really liked when we were at the Luau in Nashville 2 days ago for Elijah's house. We were raising money for Elijah House, and they do a lot of great work around the world with children in need, giving food and shelter and mental health support to our kids. But faith is best illustrated in abundance. And this idea of having more than enough of everything, including our purpose, right? We all know the mathematical equation that if our purpose is greater than our pain, then we will never quit. And so we always have to apply our why to maintain and accelerate and aggregate and compound exponentially our purpose so that we can endure even greater pain and continue to progress. And the way that I look at life, no matter what it is imagine that we're at a four-top, four people at dinner, and the waitress served us 100 sandwiches. Would you have any problem asking or receiving a second sandwich, a third sandwich, a fourth sandwich, a fifth sandwich, a sixth sandwich? Would you have a problem giving away sandwiches? So if you're not asking for more sandwiches, if you're not receiving more sandwiches, if you're not giving away more sandwiches, then you don't believe there's more than enough sandwiches. How important is it to have faith that there's more than enough of everything for everyone, that there's something bigger than you, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, abundant, unified system with more than enough sandwiches for everybody? So I want you to eat as many sandwiches as you can, to receive as many sandwiches as you can, to ask for more sandwiches, and to give all that you want away, because there's more than enough sandwiches. And if you feel yourself in scarcity, searching for something you already have, like your why, your purpose, then give more. Be given more. Receive more and ask for more. Apply your why in the infinite loop of abundant living. Think about those sandwiches and ask yourself, do I believe? Because if I do, I will say, think, believe, feel in that trajectory of more than enough of everything for everyone. I promise you, apply your why. Apply your why works. Don't search for it. Your purpose is far greater than your pain. I don't agree with everything that our boy Goggins does or says. You know, I think sometimes that we can overdo things. You know, if you're running on your knees with no meniscus and you have to get surgery and it takes you 2 months to recover, that's not for me. That's not aligned with where I want to be. But I'll tell you what David Goggins has taught me, that when I think I don't have any why left, I'm only 40% using my why. I got 60% more to apply. And so when you're 40%, you think there's nothing left in your tank, that's when you have 60% more why in you, and apply it. And your purpose will be far greater than the divine detours, the pain that is in front of you, and knowing all the time with your faith and wisdom that my purpose is far greater than my pain. And therefore, I will enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential, regardless of the divine detours, because I have a divine direction in divine time to get to where I want to be or better. What a beautiful friend, applying our why here today. We're in the final fourth quarter. It is football season, ladies and gentlemen, and we will utilize all of our football analogies here on Friday trainings, because I love football and I love you and I love this community. I love the Nick Awam, even if he's ruined my enjoyment of traveling with my family, because he's such a well-oiled machine. It has made it difficult to travel with my own family because I want them to be as efficient, effective, statistically successful. I want them to be at ease with me when I travel, and they're not, but that's okay. I will forgive myself for having higher expectations and trying to have them be the womness that Nick is. So anyway, Nick, we're in the fourth quarter, brother. What do we got up next?
Putting the fours up in the air, and man, oh man, dude, I learned from the best. So it is a reflection of the leadership around me. So I thank you, of course, for all the incredible lessons, all the incredible experiences, and I can't wait for what we got coming up. But with that said, I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to the man who's back. Of course, Jimmy's back, back again and ready with the takeaway. Jimmy, my friend, happy Friday. Feel free to unmute yourself and share away.
What's up, Nick? Happy Friday. Dave, happy college football. I love the fact that we keep going back to football analogies. Great start for your for Tulane last night. My Sooners kick off tonight. So very excited about it. Hey, we're talking about takeaways in here. And what I love about when I pop on these things is how so many of us are kind of in the same seasons. Like I'm sitting here taking notes from all the other that have popped on here and shared their takeaways. And each one in some way has aligned with my takeaway. And it's this idea of what season of life are you in? And Jim Rohn always talked about, you know, we want four springs, and that isn't always how that works. And earlier when you were talking about forcing it, which is creating resistance, versus utilizing force to clear the resistance. And for me, it's been in a season that in the past has like a slow season, which would drive me nuts, try to start forcing things. And I think my biggest takeaway during this season, just this month, is what can I do in this season? How can I use my creativity, those first 10 episodes of my Well-Crafted show? Who can I reach out to encourage? Who can I connect that needs, this person needs to know that person? And how do you use these seasons as opposed to fighting it and thinking, oh my gosh, this is a slow season, and create resistance? So, and that's something I've also just learned from you. I wanted to say thank you as well.
Oh, well, thank you, my brother. And it is seasons. For me, I like to shorten my seasons of resistance and lengthen my seasons of persistence. And so utilizing a stop, drop, and roll mechanism of identify my reaction to the fear that a certain season that has the divine detours included or resistance included, I can see the divine time of shortening that distance of resistance in that divine time by stopping. And I want to reinforce this because I see you're such an expert at creating well-crafted things. You look and breathe well-crafted. If you see Jimmy ever, he is well-crafted. God has well-crafted Jimmy. He is an epitome of style and class and well-crafted energy. And he puts that into the content of speaking and books and podcasts and videos, and everything that he does is well-crafted, and he hands that and empowers others to be well-crafted. But like everybody, whether you're well-crafted like Jimmy or not, we have seasons that create impact effect, that create momentum, that create behaviors that may not be aligned with where we want to be or better. And so instead of trying to resist those seasons and the behaviors that coincide with those seasons, instead of trying to go over them, under them, through them, and around them, instead of trying to lie to them, manipulate and cheat them and deny them, instead of trying to out-logic them and reason them, we just want to stop and breathe through our nose and out through our mouth. Stop and recollect with the omniscient and all-powerful. Remind with the omniscient and all-powerful. Remember with the omniscient and all the powerful, and then roll into the divine. Identify more divine detours as protection and promotion and love in divine time. But the interference that's created by the fear of seasons represent what in life? Change. Only one type of human being who I know truly loves change, and that's a wet baby. Beyond a wet baby, nobody likes change or a season. And in fact, when seasons come, some people find the light, the love, and the lesson in the season, and they say, oh my goodness, I'm so excited. It's going to start raining and snowing and ice. And other people are like, why am I punished? It's going to start raining. It's going to start snowing. It's going to start freezing. Well, then move to where the sun is, dumb butt. But why? So what I want you to do is remember, when seasons come, which they will continue to do, when seasons come and your mind, your body, and soul are on fire because it's change, unless you're a wet baby. When your mind, body, and soul are on fire, we all know you got to stop, breathe through your nose and out through your mouth and drop, and then roll into the divine direction, preparing for the next divine detour to promote, protect, and love us, utilizing divine time in the infinite loop to aggregate, accelerate, and compound exponentially where we want to be or better. Be well crafted, my friend, and I will see you soon.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the kind words. Appreciate it.
You're amazing. I miss you already. Take care, brother.
Miss you too. Bye-bye.
When I look in the mirror, I see Jimmy Nelson, Jimmy Hayes Nelson. That's what I see, because I give meaning to everything I see. I see a well-crafted individual. Beautiful. All right, Wammer. It's 6:52 in California, and we are blessed to have all these wonderful people with us today. Who is up next?
Absolutely. We are going to pass it over to our good friend, Mr. Chef Ron. Ron, it is always great to see you here on Fridays. Thank you so much for joining us. Feel free to unmute yourself and share your takeaway of the month.
Gotcha. How you doing, Nick? Coach, I love you. Hey, Coach, if you were a sandwich, you'd be a super sub.
Well, you're a chef, so you would know. And if I was a super, if I was a super sub, I'd be at Ike's Love in Sandwiches, Ike's Deli, over 120 of them around the country. That's where I'd be served.
Love it. So my takeaway is, and I realized this, as you know, I think it was Tuesday, I was blessed to go out to Brooklyn and sit with Mr. Hugo, Kevin and I, and had dinner or lunch with him.
Did you see my mural? Did you see my mural?
I sent you the picture. Did you get it?
I did.
When I came around the corner looking for a parking spot, I stopped and I'm in Brooklyn, so I got get the F out of the way. People blowing their horn. I'm trying to take a picture of it. So
I know. Well, you got to have an extra wide lens because they painted me with three chins. I only have two, for the record. I don't know why they had to add the third. Go ahead.
But I love it. But after that meeting, couple things, other things happened. Actually, yesterday was 1 year for Groceries Your Grandparents Fund, and we're continuing to feed a lot of hungry people, especially children. But my takeaway is to share with people that have helped you, that have, not just you, Coach, but people that you introduced me to, and then, down the line from that, to show appreciation for these people, responding to their likes on posts on like social media. And I'm just so blessed right now with the people that are helping me and pushing me along and giving me advice. Yesterday I was invited again to go on that Topgolf thing with Eric, sent me an email, and so I went on to learn about more of that thing and things like that. And so I took your advice and I sent him an email back asking if he would look at our deck and give me any advice. And he did. And so I'm like, wow, so Dave, you just keep expanding my mind, my life. And I just want to say how important it is to let other people that do that, to let them know how that you appreciate it. So I appreciate you, Super Sub, and I love you.
I love you, and I love that takeaway of empowering others to empower others. I will tell you, people get confused, and to be able to provide a neighborhood of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. And your example is one which I receive every single day. But it's funny because there's some people who see that neighborhood as a scarce opportunity, in the respect that they don't believe how much we enjoy those stories of people helping people from our neighborhood and expanding the spheres of influence to hit the mark of over a billion people to be happy. It doesn't happen. It was interesting. I was speaking, and a guy that I had coached for years was speaking before me on stage, and literally verbatim quoted my my lines, right? Be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self. Do good deeds. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It was like a Dave Meltzer cover band. And Colleen, who's the president of my company, was upset. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe that. Got all New Yorker on this person. And I was laughing. And she said, what's so funny? I said, you realize our mission is to empower others to empower others. And if other people, especially with AI, don't have enough time to make it their own and just want to regurgitate verbatim the lessons that resonate with them, then that is a blessing. That is a blessing. They may not be more interested than interesting. They may not be kind to their future self. They may not be doing good deeds. They may be surrounding themselves with the wrong people and the wrong ideas, but at least they're helping us with our mission. And there's no misinterpretation if they're not creative enough to take what they've learned and make it their own. But it is a testament to what we're doing, and gracious that Eric Weir would help you and you help so many others and so on and so forth. That is exactly the mission that we are on, and we are blessed to be on it. I'm on a mission to empower over 1 billion people to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. I show up here every single week to empower, to empower, to empower. I'm looking for 1,000 Rons and Brents and Josephs and Andreas and Nicks and Colleens. I'm looking for 1,000 people that I know in their lifetime will empower 1,000. However it is to empower 1,000. 1,000 times 1,000, 1,000,000. 1,000,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000,000. If I can empower over 1 billion people to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun, to live in abundance, to live at the table with more than enough sandwiches for everyone, where they give more sandwiches, they're given more sandwiches, they receive more sandwiches, and they ask for more than more sandwiches, then they give more than more sandwiches, to be given more and more sandwiches, to receive more than more sandwiches, to ask for more than more than more. We're all going to live in that world of more than enough of everything for everyone. And I'm going to create a collective consciousness of abundance. And I know that one particle of abundance overcomes 1,000,000 particles of scarcity. And humbly, knowing that I'm either humble or I'm about to be, but humbly, we, the billion, can change the world. And although we don't like change, the wet babies do, but we don't, I promise you that will be a change of wisdom and a change of faith. A change of abundance, a change in the way we make money, help people, and have fun. I appreciate everyone showing up every single week. Appreciate those who are here for the first time. Reach out to me, david@dmeltzer.com. We'll be in Arizona. We'll be at the Aspire Tour. Come and see us. Email me. We'll be at SoFi Stadium doing a mastermind. Email me. We'll be in Las Vegas. Email me. We'll be in New York. Email me. We'll be in Miami. Email me. We'll be in over 200 cities a year, I promise you. So email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you can't keep up, it's 949-298-2905 is our text community. Love to have you in it. Nick, we are right at 7 a.m. Pacific time. Close out the room and hand it off to Mary Lynn. I love you all.